The data centers are coming, and it looks like a company with local roots is beating the big guys. Another weekend, another murder in the metro, this one with an even more depressing twist, if that's even possible after what we've seen the last few weekends. And the Fargo Police Department, speaking of law enforcement, is hoping to set up shop where we all shop. Could the Fargo PD be making a home at Scheels Sporting Goods? Good afternoon, my friend. Good to be with you here on this sultry Monday afternoon. Man, is it muggy out there today. It's 84 degrees in the metro. Dew point of 70. Yes, you can see through the air, and today it's not the smoke from Canadian wildfires. Wow, is it a muggy one out there. If you got a little pool access today, take advantage of it because it is, I saw the feels like temperature is 92. So yeah, this is the summer, right? I mean, we cannot shake the moisture, whether it's falling from the sky or whatever humidity is, water vapor in the sky. It has just been a damp summer. It just has. Even when we've had cool days like we had over the weekend, it just it felt muggy. Today feels muggy. The sun came out around 1 or 2 o'clock, and man, as it started cooking. So here we go, proof that summer is not done quite yet. It's only August 18th, so that's a good thing. It is August 18th, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy. And we are here today to give you a report card on what has happened across our community, the region, state, country, and the world. President Trump hosted a foreign dignitary today trying to bring an end to the war overseas between Ukraine and Russia. So we'll see how that goes. They're still meeting at this hour, in fact, so we don't have any big statements to make. If there is a press conference, we'll try to take a little bit of that for you today during the show. Newsmax has settled its defamation lawsuit with Dominion Voting Systems. Not going to be quite as spendy as the check that Fox News had to write out, but I wouldn't want to write it. One of the NFL's biggest stars is apparently a Charlie Kirk fan. Oh, boy, and you know how this is going to trigger people on the far left. We'll tell you about that. We're going to talk some cattle ranching today. Hashtag farming. The American Angus Foundation took $5 million to study methane in cows. And a lot of people in the farm community said, what are we doing here? Got a couple of guests that will join us on the program today. Joe Strauss will be with us. He is the mortgage market manager at First International Bank and Trust. Mortgage rates coming down a little bit. We'll see if that's changing any activity here in the metro area. And then Chris Nellermo will be here before the show is done today, too. He's the president of Park Christian Schools. School year about ready to get off to a brand new start there for Park Christian. So we'll find out what they're going to be doing differently, any things that they're trying to change up a little bit going year to year, and kind of what the attendance trends are. It seems like all of the private schools here in our metro area have been doing well with student increases year over year. So we'll see what the trajectory looks like over at Park Christian School. So lots to do here on the program today. We would love it if you would be part of the show with us, 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment. Get in this week at valleychristian.co. You can also email us, studio@flagfamily.com, or send a text message at 701-237-1590. Let's get to it with the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines, rapid fire, catching you up on this Monday, August 18th, 2025. We'll start with the almanac for today. And the average high temperature for this day is a little under where we are today, 81 the average high. We're at 84 right now. And as I mentioned, 70 degree dew point. So it's a sticky one out there. Average low temp is 57. Record high was 106 back in 1976. I heard Dean this morning say we've only had like 3 days in the 90s or something like that this year. And typically, we get a lot more than that. 100, we haven't, I don't think we've come anywhere close to triple digits. We did on this day back in 1976. Record low 41 in 2002. How about that? That is a cool day. No doubt about that. Sunrise this morning was at 6:29. Sunset will be at 8:30. This is the last day that the sun will set after 8:30. Yes, days are getting shorter. In the market today, mixed day on Wall Street. Nothing really moved a whole lot at all. The Dow was down 34 points. S&P 500 down 1. And the NASDAQ up 6. So not really much to see here. Let's move along. Oil prices didn't do really a whole lot either. $63.28, up 40 cents a barrel, but no major changes there. Gold and silver, pretty much unchanged as well today. Bitcoin has taken it on the chin here over the weekend. Briefly touched about 115,000 today, and right now at 116,500. Little pullback in the crypto market there, so that's going on today as well. AAA says the average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas is down 2 cents from Friday at $3.13. North Dakota's average price is $2.89. North Dakota $2.93. Minnesota $2.94. Diesel down a couple of pennies at $3.69. In the news today, an artificial intelligence data center, an AI center, is being announced near Harwood. It is the Applied Digital Corporation, the people who have done the big facility down there in Ellendale. They're going to break ground on the Polaris Forge 2 in September. Sounds like a rocket ship of some kind, but it is an AI data center, a 280-megawatt facility that will add quite a bit to the infrastructure grid here in the metro area. And it's going to be something that will run apparently in some way or shape in conjunction with the Polaris Forge 1 facility down there in Ellendale. They think that they'll open in some form next year and reach full capacity in early 2027. So how about that? We've been hearing about, Microsoft or Google might come in, Amazon. Well, here's Applied Digital saying, well, while you guys just think about it, we're getting her done. We had another horrific crime incident over the weekend in Moorhead today, and this was a murder-suicide. The victims knew each other. Looks like a family dispute. WDAY Radio reports 21-year-old Camilo Acosta and 53-year-old Nancy Acosta died. Police have not yet said if they're related or who fired the gun. It happened in Moorhead. And the original story was that there was just gunshots heard in the apartment building in the 1100 block of 2nd Avenue South. Looks like a kind of a multifamily housing unit there just before 4 a.m. And so we have another gun crime, another crime, whatever you want to call it, but shooting deaths. This one looks to be some sort of a family dispute, murder, suicide, or some kind of family situation of one kind or another. WDAY Radio reports that the Fargo Police Department is requesting a new remote workstation inside a Shields location here in South Fargo, the one on 45th Street South. Chief Zabolski wrote a letter to the city commission asking the panel to approve the 24/7 station at the Shields store. And this could be a very interesting city commission meeting tonight because Dave Pepcorn said that if we don't get a resignation or a firing of the chief, then I'm going to bring forward a motion that we dismiss the chief. And but the chiefs have been busy, I guess, here in the last couple of weeks, and he's got an idea to do something at Shields. Now, we don't know for a fact that Shields is good with this, but you'd have to assume that. It's not in the story that I said there. Zabolski says it's become increasingly critical to provide a safe space for officers in the field. And apparently they had something like this at West Acres at one time, but they don't anymore. So I don't know how that would work. If they would be in the same main entrances there, maybe it would be good for shopping. Maybe it'd be less shoplifting there. I don't know. It's an interesting story. The forum reports today that the Fargo Park District is, okay, I got to read this carefully now. They are going to drop property taxes by 5% of a mil while presenting a budget that's grown by 8.5% year over year. So they're going to keep the property tax rate steady. And even though they're going to need additional money for their budget, they say they're going to get another $422,000 in additional revenue from programs, rentals, and service fees, and state and federal funding is poised to rise by $820,000. So in the end, they're going to be spending more, but it's coming from, what does it say there? Other tax sources there, state and federal funding. So we're still paying for it in one way or shape, but maybe it doesn't feel as bad because it's not coming out of property taxes. We could talk for a long time about that one. A new poll has been published by the North Dakota News Cooperative, and I'm reading this report from Bismarck Tribune today. It says, since Donald Trump became president in January, do you feel the country's economy has gotten better, worse, or remained about the same? 45% said better, 33% said worse, 21% said the same. Overall, how has Donald Trump done in handling U.S. trade policy? 57% say they approve, 39% say they disapprove, 4% say they're not sure. WDAY Radio reports that there will be more options for those needing mental health care in rural Minnesota. A psychiatric residential treatment facility is being built as an addition to the Clay County Jail. 50 more beds will be added to the facility, and this will allow the state to invest more in mental health care in our part of the world. Nationally today, President Trump is meeting with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and other European leaders at the White House. Trump says he's hoping to negotiate some kind of a truce or some kind of an end to the war there. And Trump says he'll call President Putin after the conversation gets done today. We've seen no updates on any sort of resolution from that today, but that meeting is happening. And the president is hoping to get some ground, gain some ground on this whole thing. He met with Putin in Alaska on Friday and Zelensky in D.C. today. So we'll see if anything comes out of that. Hamas, reports NBC News, has agreed to a 60-day ceasefire proposal with Israel that includes the return of half the hostages held in Gaza and Israel's release of some Palestinian prisoners. So that's a war that never seems to come to an end. Morehead will conduct a round of mosquito spraying tomorrow. Reports are that we heard from Ben Prather that Morehead has been reluctant to have mosquito spraying, but at this point, I think you have to, right? Especially with the West Nile and how awful the mosquitoes are. I tried golfing yesterday afternoon, and I've got that O-negative blood, man. They like me, and it was awful. I literally cannot put on enough stuff to keep the mosquitoes away. And I got one more here for you. If you're an NDSU football fan, you're going to have a fun road game to go to start the 2027 season. The Bison will open the season in Las Vegas against Montana State. And you remember they met in the national title game not too long ago. So some good stuff there. Labor Day weekend 2027 at Allegiant Stadium. It holds more than 65,000 fans. And those friends are the Forum, by the way, with that story. I want to give them credit for having that little piece of news here today. When we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show, Newsmax has settled its defamation lawsuit with Dominion. It's not the massive wallop that Fox News took, but I wouldn't want to write the check. That and more coming up next. Delta Design and Construction, they are the place to call, the people who know how to get that remodel done. A lot of people think you want to expand your house and create a bigger footprint. Well, building up actually makes a lot of sense for many people. Preserves your yard. Many benefits there about lower footprint for energy costs, increased property value as well. If you've ever thought about building up instead of out, well, now's a great time to get on the schedule. They also say that you get some improved views and light with a second story by building up. So I like it. Maybe increase privacy, too. That's not all bad. DeltaDesign.biz. DeltaDesign.biz. You've been thinking about that? They'd love to visit with you at DeltaDesign.biz. There's going to be a new store coming to town. I always like to talk about stories about stores. If there's new retail businesses coming to town or new car dealers, restaurants, whatever, we like to buy stuff. We do, right? Everybody likes to buy things, and it's nice to have options when it's time to buy something. Or maybe you got a little bit of money in your pocket and you want to have a little fun. Well, if you are a fan of Legos, you know, the little plastic bricks that you stepped on when your kids were little and you said words that you didn't really necessarily want to say, and then your kid was repeating that word all around the house, and your wife looked at you and you said, "What did you do?" And you say, "I stepped on the bleepity bleep Lego block," and this is how the whole thing happened. Well, Legos do not always inflict pain. They are very much enjoyed by many young boys and girls, I suppose. Maybe boys more than girls, I would say, would be my experience, but I'm sure there's girls that dig Legos too. The engineering sort of lady. But Fargo Brick Company is coming to town. They're going to be in a strip mall in West Fargo on 32nd Avenue East. And people are excited about this. There's already some social media buzz being generated about this. The store says it's a Lego lover's dream, a Lego paradise. So there you go. It's supposed to open sometime in September. Grand opening plan for late October. So big Lego experience here. Well, do you remember when Fox News Channel got the $800 million invoice from the judge on the lawsuit against Dominion Voting Systems? Well, Newsmax got its bill today. Not quite as nasty as a $787.5 million settlement back in 2023, but Newsmax will have to pay $67 million to settle a lawsuit accusing it of defaming the Dominion Voting Equipment Company. And the ruling came out today here, and it was disclosed in a filing that Newsmax had to do with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The same judge also handled the Fox case and basically, read the Riot Act through the book at Newsmax for these things that were said there. And they are going after certain talk show hosts. Newsmax host Bob Sellers said 2 days after the 2020 election was called for Biden, quote, "How long are we going to play along with the election fraud?" It's tough, right? Because you have hosts on the air who have the authority to say what they believe. And how do you prevent, as a business in our industry, how do you prevent that? Now, most of these companies have some kind of, you know, liability protection of some kind, but I don't know that there's anything you can write up for $787 million or so. Fox got into trouble when they basically said that they had internal communications from network officials saying they knew the claims were bogus, and they still allowed that kind of conversation to happen on their programs. I don't know. I don't know what was said on our programs. I think I was off the air at that time back in 2020. Maybe I was still out there. I'm not sure. Doing Need to Know Morning Show. But it's a deal. You got to, as a broadcast organization, you better pay attention to stuff like this. So it can be a tough business that way. So we'll see if there's appeals, what happens from there. But I thought that was definitely interesting. So that came out today, $67 million. All right, 4:30 here on the Steve Holstrom Show. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Joe Strauss will be with us from First International Bank and Trust. He is the market manager for First International Mortgage and the vice president at First International. I want to know about adjustable rate mortgages, because if you think the rates are going down, which everybody seems to think that they will, maybe now's the time to get into one of those adjustable rate mortgages and save yourself some money. But we don't like to do that here. We're a little more conservative in this part of the world. So we'll talk to Joe about what the dip in interest rates has meant to the purchases, refinances, and also the kind of mortgage products that people are going after. All that coming up soon. First, though, we start with a check of the newsroom. DJ Coulter and the American Family Insurance Agency would like to talk to you about life insurance, specifically the kind of life insurance you might have with your employer. It sounds great, and it is, but what happens if you move to a different company? Well, that policy will generally not follow you around, so you've got to have a different way to do that. So the gang over at DJ Coulter, American Family Insurance, would love to visit with you about life insurance. There's a lot of different ways you can do it, but you want to have a policy that's locked in for a little while, because those work policies can come and go, and you don't want to have that happen to you. Change of benefits, you lose your job, maybe the new place doesn't have the same kind of benefits that your old place did. Make sure you're doing it the right way, and DJ and the team would be happy to fill you in on what they can do for you and the different options that are out there for you. And they say that it's always good to have the conversation, and then you get all of the information that you need to know to make whatever decisions that you need to make. So that's how they do it over there at the DJ Coulter American Family Insurance Agency. We are pleased to be joined in studio this afternoon by Joe Strauss, and he is a vice president at First International Bank and Trust. He's our mortgage market manager here as well, and he has been good enough to come over today. We have Joe in every once in a while when mortgage rates start moving around a little bit to see what all that means to us. Hey, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming by. So we saw a note, a research note not too long ago, that we are seeing right now the lowest level for mortgage rates in nearly a year. And we're down into that kind of 6.5%, 6.6% mortgage, something like that. Sometimes you can get them even just a hair lower than that. 15-year fixed rate mortgages, national average around 5.75. So that might help decrease the mortgage payments a little bit. But we're still a little higher than we've been for a while. So locally, I know that our numbers sometimes will vary a little bit based on what's happening here versus the national averages. So what are we seeing here locally, Joe?
Well, we follow the trends. We have seen rates come down a little bit, which is great to see. It's a step in the right direction. I think we've all been patiently waiting. You know, they really spiked after the crazy low rates of COVID, and we saw a high back in the fall of 23, where we were pretty close to 8% on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgages, and happy to report today, like you kind of indicated, you know, we're in that 6.5. We can even get into the low sixes if people want to pay discount points. And of course, you know, every scenario is different, right? Down payment, credit score, all those things come into play. So when we talk about these rates, you know that certain situations, they can be different and vary. But the overall trend in the last few weeks has been mortgage rates coming down a little bit, which is great to see as we head into fall.
Yeah. Are you seeing more interest in adjustable rate mortgages here locally based on the fact that interest rates are maybe a little higher than they've been? There's a lot of talk out there that the Federal Reserve may be cutting interest rates the last part of the year, and that might get people thinking, okay, well, maybe I'll do this for a while, and then if they do come down, then I'll refinance and lock in something longer. Are you seeing any ARM kind of interest these days?
You know, we're really not seeing the ARMs today like we did in the past. We are, however, structuring deals today with the likelihood of lower rates in the future. And what I mean by that, Steve, is most people today, and everybody's situation is different. I mean, you kind of said it with DJ, right? Ask questions and make an informed choice when it comes to insurance. It's no different with a mortgage, right? We want to get to know, what's your story? What's your plan? You know, are you gonna, is this long term? Is this short term? You know, all these things come into play because we want to set people up for success, right? And if somebody says, you know, Joe, we just had our second kid and we're gonna be in this house long term, then I'm gonna be like, well, maybe we shouldn't pay discount points today and worry about buying that rate down today. Let's save that money today and save that horsepower for when rates come down. And maybe we can get you an even better rate when we buy down at the time of refi to capture a better rate at that time. So it just depends. It depends on everybody's story and what they want to do and what makes the most sense for their financial situation.
Yeah. Have you seen people that are into a mortgage product much, and they're saying, okay, look, I really need to refinance, take some money out, or do something here. So I'm going to do this loan even though I have a 3.5%, 4% loan. Now, even though rates are higher, that we hear that people are defaulting on credit cards, auto loans, and things like that, and they need to access cash. And a lot of us are sitting on some nice equity in our home because we've had it for a while, and prices have gone up a little bit. So a lot of people are looking at their house going, dang, I've got some money in here, and I might just have to bite the bullet and do this refinance and take some money out, even though the interest rate might be a little higher.
Well, you're exactly right. There's no doubt anybody that's been in their home for 5, 7 plus years, 5 to 7 or more years, has a very significant amount of equity oftentimes. And that for us in being a full service bank, we oftentimes will come in with a second mortgage in a situation like that, where maybe we leave that 3% first mortgage alone and we come in with a second mortgage on the property to access some of that home's equity.
Is that like a home equity line?
We do a home equity line, but we'll also do a home equity loan that will be term, fixed payment, fixed interest rate. And so, again, it's what's your story? What's your plan? We want to really get to know our customers, help them make informed choices as consumers to do what's best for them.
I've got a question for you. I was in this business of mortgage underwriting a long, long time ago. And back then, we had these ratios that you could have. And, 30% of your income could go to your housing, and then 38% to your total debt with everything. Now, with the cost of living being what it is and people carrying more debt, are those ratios, are they still numbers that you all use? I have to assume there's some numbers there, but have those changed over time with inflation and cost of living?
Well, everybody makes more money, but it's still 30% going to your house. It's just not a $1,000 mortgage payment anymore, right? Yeah. The numbers have changed. But no, you're spot on. We typically say that 30 to 32% of your income going to your mortgage is healthy. And when we say mortgage, we're talking principal and interest, property taxes, special assessments, mortgage insurance, if there is some. And then we look at a total debt to income, which takes in student loans and credit cards and car payment. And that's generally in that 40 range, maybe 42 is okay. Those principles remain the same. It's just that everybody's making more money now, but there's more money going out the door.
When you have people coming in to do a refinance, it used to be that you had to, go through all the filing stuff. You had to get an appraisal on the home. And I've just got to wonder if the technology with artificial intelligence and being able to scan so many things that we used to need people to do that now computers and machines can do. Have we made the whole process of financing a home and all the closing costs and all that, has that gotten more streamlined over time with the new technologies out there?
Well, I tell you what, it has, and AI is changing banking as a whole, not just mortgage, but certainly we look at it in mortgage from efficiencies and so on and so forth. These computer programs, these decision engines today are more robust than they've ever been. And with that, I also believe that the quality of mortgages we're doing today are better than we've ever had, right? I mean, we're just, we look at everything and nothing gets left unturned, if you will. And so it's good. It's good for the consumer. Technology is here to stay, right? We might as well embrace it and leverage it and take advantage of it. But there are several ways for people to streamline refinance processes, and a lot of that is the direct benefit of technology.
Yeah. If you've got a question here today for Joe and you want to ask something, you sure can. Give us a call at 701-271-1100. I want to ask you about advice you give to people who maybe went through a tough patch a couple, 3 years ago with their credit. Maybe they got in over their head, they had some bills that they fell behind. If someone calls you and says, hey, give me some advice, I don't have great credit, can you still get me in a loan? What kind of conversations do you have with them?
Boy, that's a great one. You know, you can ruin credit literally overnight, right? Couple bad choices, couple missed payments, and you can really impact your credit scores negatively. I have never seen credit that cannot be fixed. It just takes some work, right? Fixing credit isn't an instantaneous do two things and it's magically better, right? But if people are willing to work hard, I guarantee you we can rebuild credit scores. And with FHA, VA financing, and some of the different things that are out there, you don't need perfect credit. We just have to have acceptable credit. And it really comes down to just analyzing what happened, right? Oh. What happened to your credit? And depending on what happened, we may talk about things that need to be paid off, paid down. We may talk about the fact that, you know, what a lot of people do, Steve, they have a bad credit experience and then they quit using credit. Well, you can't rebuild it if you're that not using help, it, right? You know? So we do a lot of helping people rebuild credit. They maybe had some bad experiences. They quit using it. We've got some different things we can do with helping them get secured credit cards and different things to show ability and willingness to repay.
Okay.
And that's what we're looking for.
That's the big deal there. When people say, I've heard the, I touched on it earlier, but I'd like to get your perspective on it. When people say, well, I heard that rates are going to be going down, should they necessarily wait and say, okay, if rates are going to go down, I better wait and do my mortgage things then too, because I've heard rates are going to go down? What advice do you have people when they call and say, should I do something now? Should I wait? Where are rates going to go? How do you help them through those things?
Well, here's my disclaimer, right? If I could tell you what rates were going to do, no disrespect, but I wouldn't be in your office in Fargo, right? Timing interest rates is virtually impossible. We always say, you know, to build wealth in real estate is time in the market. Don't worry about timing interest rates. Just get in. If you don't own a house, buy a house, right? Get in. Have some real estate. The thing I love, and if people can afford homes today and can accept interest rates today from where they are, if they buy the house, when rates come down, they're in control. They now get to refinance and capture those lower interest rates if and when they become available. And so if you're waiting for rates to come down, you're on the outside looking in. We watch values continue to go up. We just got the Fargo-Moorhead Realtor Association data, and rates on houses continue to go up in our market. So the longer you sit out.
Rates on houses or values on houses?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Home values continue to go
up. That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah. So if you buy a house when rates are high, values continue to go up, you refinance it down the road when it comes into play. And here's what I'll say, you know, the Fed meeting, and when we talk about Fed cutting rates, that's our short-term money. That's our variable rate money. That's not a direct correlation to 30 or 15-year mortgage rates. I think a lot of what we already saw in mortgage rates coming down in these past couple weeks is purely the anticipation of a Fed cut next month.
Yeah.
And we saw mortgage rates move in advance of that.
Yes.
So if the Fed cuts rates next month, I don't anticipate we would see mortgage rates drop another half, if that's what they do, or a quarter, or who knows what they'll do. Mm. We've already kind of seen some of that movement in the fixed rate mortgage world.
Yeah. I was looking for a note that I saw on CNBC last week, and I can't find it now, but the number of applications, mortgage applications, took a big jump last week over where they were a month ago. And I just thought it was an interesting note. I cannot find the number there, but how much busier are you than you were, say, a month ago or a year ago?
Well, year over year, we're having a great year. We're up substantially over where we were last year. And I kind of had mentioned it earlier, you know, fall of 2023, rates were 7.5, 7.75. Well, now that we're seeing rates 6.5, 6.25, some of those are getting to be the perfect time to consider, or at least get educated around a refinance. The savings is there. You know, there used to be, you know, a lot of things, well, you got to can't refinance if it's not at least a 1% improvement or a rate, or back in the day it was even 2%. But that's when you're borrowing 40 grand or 50 grand.
Yeah.
Well, nowadays we're borrowing a little bit more than that, right? We see the median home prices continuing to go up, and the average loan size is larger. So sometimes 0.75% savings in rate or 1% savings in rate, it makes sense. Again, it's what's their plan, what's their goals.
Yep. Nick is on the line. He's got a question for Joe. Nick, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. Thank you. So my question is regarding getting a mortgage. I've got property that's paid for. I would sell that property, but it would take me maybe a year to purchase land and build a building on it. What happens during that period of time? I would need money for that. but I don't need, I don't want to be making payments. Is there an interest type only or a loan that I can get that doesn't require monthly payments or for the first year, which I would pay it off after the home is sold?
In my residential mortgage world, no, we do not do an annual payment or things of that nature. What we do do a lot of at First International Bank and Trust is construction lending, where people own land, sounds like just like you do, and they build a structure, build a house on the land. We do, through the construction process, require interest-only payments. And they start out small, right? If the first advance is, let's just say, $50,000, you're going to pay interest on the $50,000. And then every month as we advance more, of course, more interest will accrue and more would become due. But no, in my world, that's not possible. You'd have to get into to ag and some different things where they accept annual payments and things of that nature. Not quite my wheelhouse.
Okay. Nick, does that help?
Yeah, that does help. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for giving a call. All right, Joe, that's about all the time we have in this segment here, but if people want to ask questions like Nick did and get some perspective from you, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm in Fargo. I can be reached at 701-499-7539. We've got full-service banks all over our community. Reach out to anyone in your neighborhood as well. We just love the opportunity to get to learn your story, look at your goals, and help you put together a plan to accomplish those.
There's so much flexibility. There's a lot of regulations, but there's a lot of creativity that goes into making a plan, isn't there?
That's the fun part.
That's
Amen.
The fun part. Yep. Anybody can write out a check. It takes a pro like Joe to know how to put all the pieces together. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having
Joe
me.
Joe Strauss, Vice President, Mortgage Manager at Mortgage Market Manager, First International Bank and Trust. One of the NFL's biggest stars reposted a religious social media message from Charlie Kirk, and he's getting roasted because of it. We'll tell you who it was and what was reposted when we come back. It is amazing what people will criticize others for. Charlie Kirk, who is one of my favorite followers on X or Twitter, just puts up some really good stuff and really makes it simple. Well, I'm not the only one following Charlie Kirk. He's got millions of followers, including, apparently, Lamar Jackson, the star quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. Charlie Kirk put up a post last week saying, it's all about Jesus. That's it. It's not about Trump is the best or I hate Kamala Harris. Nothing like that. It's all about Jesus that Charlie Kirk posted. Well, Lamar Jackson reposted it. We used to say retweeted it, but reposted it. And boy, has he taken heat for propagating anything to do with Charlie Kirk, even though the post had nothing to do with politics. It's all about Jesus. And so I'm looking at this. I'm like, who is criticizing this? Who would really do that? But it's not just Trump derangement syndrome that's out there. It's anybody who has anything to do with the conservative movement. This is not controversial at all. It's not Democrat or Republican. Are there not Democrats that believe that it's all about Jesus too? I just thought that was too bad. But it warms my heart. I might have to buy a Lamar Jackson jersey because he thinks it's all about Jesus too. Good job, Lamar. Don't let him get you down. Hour two of the program coming up next. Here we go with hour number two of the Steve Alstrom Show on this Monday afternoon / evening. We're up to 85 temperature. 90 is the feels-like temperature because we have a dew point at 70. When you get in the upper 60s, you can feel it. When you get to 70, that air is thick. And there is no wind today, which I kind of like that. We get so much wind here in the valley. Today is a very calm day. So that air is pretty darn still. But boy, if you're by the pool or out at the lake this week, you figured it out just right. Because it's a good day to take a dip in the pool, the water, whatever you got going on. Whatever you got going on, glad that you're hanging out with me here on this Monday afternoon. We were talking about interest rates earlier in the program last hour with Joe Strauss from First International Bank and Trust. And I was thinking about interest rates today because the big Jackson Hole economic symposium, they just call it the Jackson Hole meeting, but Jerome Powell typically gives his most important policy speech of the year at this Jackson Hole meeting, where they get together for a few days and, you know, kind of bounce things off each other. Where's the economy going? And so we won't get any news of a Fed cut of any kind at this meeting, but we could get some forward-looking comments that would be very interesting. So we might see something that signals a shift in thinking from the Federal Reserve, or if Powell wants to sort of nuance some things he said before, you might hear it there. So the stock market believes that there is a very, very good chance of at least one rate cut this year, and there is about a 50-50 chance of two cuts, and there are some people that even think the first cut that comes here in September, which would be the next opportunity they could do it, could be a half point. If we get a quarter point, I don't think the market's going to do much. I don't think stocks are going to rally. I don't think a lot of lending changes. I don't think people are running to the bank to take out a loan or buy a new car or whatever else. If we get a half point, I think that will get something going. And then, especially if it's followed up with another quarter point, then it seems like we've got enough for people to say, hey, that loan that used to be 7, it's now 6.25. If it was 6.5, now it's in the 5s. That 5% number means something. Get it under 6 to where that loan number starts with a 5, and you'll see a lot of things change. I just don't know that Powell will do that. He seems to be dug in. He's got some of the people on his board of governors that feel like they need to do something, and a couple of them might be angling for the job in May when Jerome Powell, the current chair's term, expires and Donald Trump appoints someone new. So we'll see, but this will be a very interesting week to watch. And if Powell digs in his heels and says, I know there's some that feel like we've got to lower rates, but we need to be careful about inflation and we think the job market's fine, that would be notable. The job market has weakened a little bit, I think everybody thinks. So what does Powell want to focus on? So that'll be the conversation going on out in Wyoming this week. And we'll find out kind of what all those conversations were like and what they have led Powell to think and do on Friday. So we'll see what happens there. But that's coming up later this week. All right, let's get to the top 5 of 5. And these are what I believe to be the 5 most consequential news stories that are in the news cycle today. And we call the top 5 at 5. Story number 1, we're going to get a new AI data center in the metro area. The Applied Digital Corporation, the ones who run that big facility down in Ellendale, are building another one near Harwood. The one they have in Ellendale is called Polaris Forge 1, and this will be called Polaris Forge 2. I think probably a certain attempt to convey to the world that, hey, we keep our power costs down because all the cool air we have here, using that term Polaris, but this would be Polaris Forge 2. And it looks like they are going to be building it out very soon. They expect to have some initial capacity sometime next year, full capacity in early 2027. It'll be a 200-megawatt facility that will continue, the company says, to position North Dakota as sort of a mecca for these AI data centers. We've heard Microsoft, Google, Amazon, all those big companies talking about coming in here, needing a natural gas pipeline to make it happen. Well, I'm not sure how Applied Digital is doing it, but they're not going to wait for the pipeline. They're going to go ahead and get this thing done here. The facility will span more than 900 acres and will be powered by Cass County Electric Cooperative. So they feel like they've got the kind of grid that will support this without kind of standing up their own utility on site. 200 full-time workers are expected to be employed at this facility. Kind of a next generation, next era in North Dakota with energy and tech running together. All right, WDAY Radio also reports today that there was a murder-suicide over the weekend in Moorhead, continuing the streak of violent crimes going on here in our community. There wasn't much downtown over the weekend, it sounds like. I guess that's a good thing. But we did find out that 2 people are dead. They both have the same last name, 21-year-old Camilo Acosta and 53-year-old Nancy Acosta, are both dead. Police have not said if they're related or who fired the gun. It happened in Moorhead at an apartment building in the 1100 block of 2nd Avenue South. Happened early on Saturday morning there. We don't know if it was a son-daughter. We don't know if they were family, brother-sister. We just don't know. But authorities now believe that one person pulled the trigger and shot the other one and then turned the firearm on themselves. Sad story, no matter what the real details are all about. WDAY Radio also has a very interesting story about Fargo police and shields. So the Fargo PD is requesting a new remote workstation inside the Shields location on 45th Street in Fargo. Yeah, over there, kind of by Home Depot's over there, over that direction. They're just west of the mall there. So Chief David Zabolski, Fargo Police Chief, has written a letter to the City Commission asking the panel to approve this 24/7 police station inside the Shields retail store. And the request is on this City Commission meeting tonight. So this could be an interesting meeting for 100 different reasons. You might remember that Dave Pepcorn had said if the police chief had not been fired by the mayor, or if he hadn't resigned, that he was going to bring forward a motion tonight to do that. So this could be interesting for 100 reasons, including this new one now. Apparently Shields is okay with it, and it's just interesting to think about that. Will they have a separate entrance that we don't really know? Will they be going in and out the front doors with people buying baseball bats and fishing poles? We don't know that either. I guess there's some room over there, and Shields is apparently good with it, so we'll see what's happening there. Zabolski says it's becoming increasingly critical to have a space for officers out in the field. They need a little bit more space, and they apparently had that at West Acres, but there was a fire department remodel at West Acres Mall that led them to lose their space. So that's coming back on to the City Commission agenda for tonight. Now, we don't know what the cost would be to do this, but I imagine all that will be released tonight. Well, do you think in North Dakota that we feel better or worse about the country's economic direction? Well, if you guessed better, you're right, but not by a whole lot. The North Dakota News Cooperative has come out with its latest poll surveying the people of our good state of North Dakota, 625 North Dakota voters. And they asked, since President Trump took the office in January, do you feel the country's economy has gotten better, worse, or remained about the same? What would you say if that question was asked to you? I would say better or same. I don't think I'd say worse. Although we haven't really seen the benefit, I don't think, yet. But I think we will. This tax bill that went through, basically ensuring that we have the proliferation of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from 2017, that's a big one. I'd probably say better, but I don't think we've seen it all yet. Same or better? Well, 45% of the people that responded said, I think it's better. The economy is better in this country. 25% or 21% said the same. 33% said worse. So I think that is interesting. 33% of North Dakotans, so one in three North Dakota voters, says, I think the economy has gotten worse. Well, inflation hasn't gotten worse. The job market, not gotten a lot better. I mean, a lot of people, especially in government jobs, have lost work. So, you know, it's foolish to think that that's not going to impact our economy somehow. After all, a job is a job. Now, if the government is always paying for all the jobs that are being created, that's not sustainable long term, but short term, it sure can be. So 45% said better. The other question I thought was interesting, do you approve or disapprove of President Trump's handling of U.S. trade policy? 57% said they approved it. 39% said they disapproved it. And 60%, as part of that same question, said they support President Trump's use of tariffs as a part of trade policy. 60 to 34. So there you go. Very interesting. And finally, the so-called Great Resignation, you remember that? Where people were just jumping from job to job every 6 months trying to make another couple bucks an hour? Well, the so-called Great Resignation has become the Great Stay, and experts are now saying it's become the Great Hug. Yes, job hugging. The act of holding on to a job for dear life is what it's now being called. Consultants at Korn Ferry, an organizational consulting firm, wrote this last week. They say the Great Resignation has become the Great Job Hug. The rate at which workers are voluntarily leaving their jobs, it's called the quit rate, generally speaking, has hovered around 2% since the start of the year. Outside of the initial days of the COVID-19 pandemic, levels haven't been that low since early 2016. So people are less likely to leave their job. They did a poll question about this and asked if you're confident that that there are plenty of jobs out there. Has dropped 38% a year ago, said that, yes, there are plenty of jobs. Right now, 26%. So that was part of a poll by ZipRecruiter that was kind of done right around the same time there. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And people are hugging their jobs, not just holding on to them, but hugging them, hanging on for dear life. So there you go. I'm not exactly sure what else to say about that, but I guess if you got a job and you like it, it's always good to hang on to it. I will say that in my job, I get to talk to a lot of business owners across our community, some big, some small, kind of everywhere in between. I will say that my impression is that back in the post-COVID, 2021, maybe even 2022, there was definitely a thought out there that you've got to get more people and you got to pay what it takes and we'll just raise our prices and hope for the best. Sometime early 2023, middle part of the year, I felt that changed a little bit. And more employers said, you know what, I can't continue to just offer more and more and more to everybody. For the right person, yeah, you stretch a little bit. We all do that. But across the board, if you got to hire, you know, three technicians or something like that, you're not just going to hire whatever. You're not going to take the best and pay whatever it takes. You're going to look for that next three maybe that fit your budget a little bit better. And I would say in the late part of last year into this year, I feel like it is harder to find a job. They're out there still, but it's not. I mean, statistically, the job service in North Dakota will tell you that too. I forget what the numbers were, but it used to be like there's, you know, 10 jobs out there for every person looking for a job, and it's like been cut in half or something like that. So there are jobs out there, and if you're patient, you can find a good opportunity. But it's not like it was for a while. Maybe automation has played a part in that. I'm not sure. Or companies are just not replacing. I've heard a lot of that they're not laying off people, but when someone leaves, that person doesn't get replaced. And that's not just small and medium-sized businesses, though there's some of the bigger businesses in our community. And so the number of people being employed, a little bit less. And those, friends, are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. We call it the top five of five, and a little bonus, I guess, sort of perspective based on what I'm hearing and seeing from people that I talk to. So we do this each day in the 5 o'clock hour here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Call it the Top 5 at 5. All right, when we come back here on the Steve Hallstrom Show, the American Angus Foundation took $5 million to study methane in cows. It set off a firestorm. My question to you is, did they do anything wrong? Or does it just smell fishy? That's next. StarSafe Bath and Shower, that's the place to call if you are thinking about doing some changes to your home to make it a little easier to get around in the shower. More than 20 million adults a year are injured in the bathroom, and the number one place that people get injured is stepping over the tub to get into the shower. And one in four Americans, 65 and older, do have a fall each year. So make sure that if you're going to be in your home for a little longer, that's not a bad idea, but you got to make sure that it's safe. So get a hold of the team at Style Safe Bath and Shower, StyleSafeFargo.com. That's StyleSafeFargo.com. Here's my question for you. Is what I'm about to read to you a bad decision? by the American Angus Foundation. Did they do the right thing? So the American Angus Foundation got a $4.85 million grant from the Bezos Earth Fund and Global Methane Hub to study methane emissions in Angus cattle. Angus cattle, right? Great American brand there. The research is intended to identify genetic traits in low methane emission cattle, yet we're talking about the cow farts here, and try to integrate some of those traits into breeding programs to reduce the amount of methane emissions that are coming from the cattle. Right now, I've laughed at stuff like this many times. It's part of this climate change hoax thing that, you know, we've got to do everything, including like get rid of, you know, all the cow emissions or whatever. So those of us who grew up on hog and cattle farms, like yours truly, we don't like this kind of thing. We just don't, because they want to get rid of the cattle. Well, the Bezos Foundation is saying, this is Jeff Bezos now, the Amazon guy. Okay, well, if we can find ways to have a little less methane emissions, maybe we can still have some cows. So they're asking the Angus Foundation to do this. Well, the American Angus Foundation took the $5 million for the grant. And the Bezos Earth Fund says they just want the research done. They don't have any control over how the results are used. But if we can find ways to do this better, then maybe we would have a more, quote-unquote, sustainable beef industry. Now, this has raised a firestorm across many farms and ranches across the country. Here's my question to you, though. I don't like any part of this, but was it wrong for the Angus Foundation to take the money? Now, on one hand, you say, what are you talking about? They're trying to end cattle. Of course it's wrong for them to take it. But if it was you and you were running the cattle board and you get this grant to do the research and you say, you know, we're just trying to find different ways to do cattle differently, is there anything inherently wrong about this? So I'm curious what you think about this one. 271-1100. I think as I take a look at this whole thing, at the end of the day, I would say, okay, do I want to further research on cattle? Absolutely. Do I want to further research on methane emissions coming from the cattle? Probably not. Now, if this was about some sort of gastric health for the cattle, then absolutely. But when you know the people that are behind this are intent on destroying the animals that you are trying to raise and you're promoting, it gets really, really tricky. Then again, you can make the argument too that, well, if they're just trying to find ways, because we're never going to really get rid of cattle, right? And if there's a way to make the cattle more palatable, if you will, to use that word, maybe you do a little bit of that. So here's an issue where I honestly am torn. I don't like it, yet I say, okay, is there a lot of harm in actually doing the research and, you know, taking the $5 million to see like what some cattle that have these gastric traits or these emissions traits or whatever, can we use that to breed into other animals and there's no harm, no foul? I guess I see that too. So I'm kind of in the middle on this one. Even though I think the right answer is no, if I really think about it, I don't know that I see why this particular... Now, if they got the research and they were going to like mandate something about it, seems like then there might be more problems. But they just gave them the money to do this research and to do whatever they want with the findings. And it didn't sound like there were any strings attached. So would you take the money or not? Interesting question, I think. All right, it is 5:30. We've got a news and weather break to take here. And then when we come back, Chris Nellermo is going to be here. And Chris is a president at Park Christian Schools. They're getting ready for a brand new school year in Moorhead. And we still need to catch up with Chris about how last year finished up. So we'll do that, look ahead to the new school year coming up next. Hey, our friend Bonnie Amistadi from WDAY Radio is going to be on location at the ranch at Sunset Valley, the big open house over there for Heritage Homes. And Bonnie's going to be checking in with us coming up. It's a week from tomorrow during our show here. A new 55-plus active community coming to Horace where they're building that big data center. So all kinds of stuff going. Man, Horace, right? What's going on down there? And the best part of this whole thing, no yard work, no snow removal. Just have some fun walking and biking trails, a clubhouse, pool, pickleball courts. Mark your calendar and check it out. The Ranch at Sunset Valley. That just sounds like the real deal, doesn't it? The Ranch at Sunset Valley. Something like something you might find in Arizona or Palm Desert, California. No, right here in Horace. And the big open house over there, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, August 26. Can't wait for that conversation there. So Prairie Ridge was one that we were doing some work for, and we were too good at it. They filled up, and now they don't need us anymore. So I guess that's what they hire us to do over here at this place. Well, we are pleased to welcome to the program Chris Nelamone. Chris is president of Park Christian School. Always good to check in with our friends in private education, Christian-based education here in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo community. And Chris and I have been trying to get together here for a few weeks. Thankful that it finally worked out.
Yeah. I'm
Chris, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
How's your summer been?
Been great. Goes too fast.
Oh, boy, no kidding, right?
It's like, here we go. We started up with our teachers today.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to our kids next Monday.
Next Monday already. Yeah. Holy smokes. So before Labor Day, you guys get a rolling.
We do. We kind of have a nice start. We get 4 days in next week, and then we have a four-day weekend with Labor Day.
That's
and
a good way to do
to
it.
4 day, and it's just nice nice enter.
Ease into
the school
it.
Year for the teachers and students to get their legs underneath them. And
there we go. Well, let's take a look back a little bit at how things finished up in the 2024-2025 school year. Give us a couple of highlights, things that you were happy about how things went at Park.
Yeah, I think we ended the year with 622 students, and it's kind of right where we started the year of record enrollment again in regards to serving our families in such a great way. A couple of highlights that we finished up the school year, both our boys and ladies golf teams went to state. This past year.
Okay, a golf mecca.
Yeah, the ladies took second, and I think the boys were fourth. And
I remember the girls had a really good year.
Yeah, they had a great year. We also had our first ever state champion in track. We had an Ockery girl that took first place in the high jump.
How about a high jumper? Let's go.
Super excited for her,
The real
too.
Athletes have checked in.
That's
right.
Yeah.
Man, how did I miss that?
Yeah, it was fantastic. So super excited for our track program and what they're doing. We had great numbers in that. We also had our ninth year of a McGovern scholarship winner, a full ride tuition at NDSU. Mm. They started that 9 years ago, and one of our students has been placed in that, I think, every year that they've had that McGovern scholarship. So it's fun to see the athletics and the extracurricular shine, and then also kind of the academics and the STEM area of our kids doing well. And they write well and doing great things.
That's fantastic. People are wondering why I'm making a big deal of high jumping. That was my sport in college. I was a high jumper back in the day.
Oh, there you go.
And so whenever I hear high jumpers doing well, I had the privilege to win state when I was a senior, and one of the most special things, I remember it still like it happened yesterday, and my school's first ever state champ at that time. Yeah, so it was a really special thing.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, that state track meet is so fun. I don't really ever get back, and I wish I did. At the highest level, so I was in the small school class back then, class A, and the double A kids at that time, now it's called probably triple A or something, but the quality of athletes at that highest level in Minnesota track and field is just stunning. It's jaw-dropping.
It is jaw-dropping.
And they'll go on to be like the state champions are all like high level, Big 10, Big 12, Olympic kids. It's crazy.
I think you hit on something really well, too. The experiences you remember for a lifetime.
Isn't that something?
And it's really in my heart, too, in regards to like having opportunities for our students to do some amazing things and to remember them for a lifetime. Just laying down great friendships and team.
Yeah.
And the camaraderie, and then just kind of reaching those goals.
Yeah.
Super fun.
I know I'm supposed to appreciate the school stuff more, but I literally couldn't remember one test I did good on or bad on. But, boy, I remember the basketball games and track meets and all that good stuff.
I remember playing in the state semifinals in Minnesota at Parade Stadium in the snow.
Mm.
So it's the same.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, those good old days. So a good year.
Good
numbers. I know your school has a tremendous academic reputation. I'm sure you kicked out plenty of scholars and people that got some scholarships at college and things like that.
That's right. It's fun to highlight that McGovern scholarship that NDSU started 9 years ago, and our students just being able to just plug into that. Mm. And it's anonymous, and they write the essays that go into there, and our students just shine in regards to how they write readiness for the STEM areas and actually all of the they're so ready when they leave our school to just thrive in college.
We do this presidential scholars dinner every year in the spring for the 60 kids. It's in Minnesota. It's really, really difficult because there's a lot of kids from hiring school. We're going to have a Park kid this year. I just have that feeling.
Fantastic.
We're going to get that
done. Look forward to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell us what now as we kind of turn the page and start looking forward to the new year, how are we doing on your enrollment numbers and things like that?
Yeah, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we had a strategic plan that we're kind of living into. So we're starting year three. But part of our strategic plan was to grow as a school and maintain our excellence, but be a school that is going to serve about 650 kids. And so this year we're going into the school year with 631 students. So slight enrollment, we're going up. But again, we're kind of in a sweet spot in regards to the number of students that are in our building right now. There are some grades that are near capacity. We're full at sixth grade. We just can't take any more sixth graders because our classrooms are full. We can't do that. So there are individual grades that we can, but we're kind of a three-section school and kind of hang our hat with kindergarten through 12th grade in our one building. So our upperclassmen are influencing and being role models for our younger students in the hallway. It is just in this metro area where we're kind of segregated, it's like to have our whole school walk in those hallways and our kindergartners looking up to that basketball kid
who's
on the court on Friday night. And it's just like awe. And it's so fun to see that interaction. And we plug some of our older students into the classroom. We call them educational training students so that they can go into the classroom and do some small reading groups and things like that. So there's this beautiful relationship that happens in a whole school environment at Park Christian School.
Yeah, that's great. There's been a lot of conversation. North Dakota now has a new state law about phones in schools. What have you done at Park in terms of kids having phones during the school day?
Yeah, we are following a very similar format. We were actually very intentional about 10 years ago to say, you know what, we are not going to be a one-to-one device school. We kind of believe in, and it's coming true right now, that having conversations and looking at people in the eye and being able to critically think is really important and not just looking at a screen.
Yeah.
And so we didn't do that 10 years ago, but the phones have become such a hot button in regards to of having to look at it. I find myself.
Oh, 100%. You know,
like,
same way.
I got to pick it up. Yeah. But we're going to really try to live into that. We do use them in the classroom with teacher permission. We're going to be able to use them as a device for research and doing interaction within the classroom.
Sure.
But they're not going to be used in the hallways or in any other spaces of the school. So we're looking forward to kind of leaning more heavily into just like talking with people and having conversations and visiting at the lunch table.
Seeing the eyes of the kids, I hear that too. Yeah. That's what they're really hoping to do in North Dakota here. I have a couple more follow-up questions, but any last kind of things you want to talk about as we look ahead and preview the upcoming school year?
One of the big initiatives that we are living into right now is called Teaching for Transformation. And it really is taking our Christ-centered academic community that we are to a next level. I kind of frame it as like putting skin on our faith. Teaching for Transformation is a framework to see God at work around us all the time. And he's inviting us to join him in his work. So every one of our teachers right now is going through kind of some training to like, what does this look like? And honestly, drawing us back to like, what's my deep hope as the leader of Park Christian School? And it's building relationships that point to Jesus, and their kids would leave our school in just a mighty way to be served and find their calling in their life, and then just to go and serve him. And so every one of the teachers is going to be, whether it's science or music or English or kindergarten, it's like, what's their deep hope for kindergarten? What do they want their students to experience? And then as they see that and see God working in their lives, they're going to be doing some what we call flex projects. So it's living out into the community and kind of being the hands and feet of Jesus as they're living out their day in their school. And so every classroom at Park is going to be living into Teaching for Transformation this year, and we're getting trained on it right now. And so it's kind of a whole school initiative. Last year we had a cohort that kind of piloted it, and now we're living into it with our entire school for the coming year.
Oh,
so we're excited for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have been blessed in this community with some really good private education that it is faith-based. And you all seem to play nice in the sandbox, you and Shanley, Oak Grove, and Capstone. But how do you create that identity and make sure that there's something out there where we say, Park is a little different, these other good people, good schools, whatever, but here's our identity and here's the thing that makes us special. How do you foster that?
Yeah, I think we really kind of lean into Our core value, number one, is to partner with the Christian home. And so we have the privilege of partnering with the Christian home, with our churches, and then within our school, all of our teachers having a relationship with Jesus Christ and being disciples and growing disciples. And so we really believe that it's biblical. It says that you as mom and dad are the most important teachers for your kids. And when a school can partner with you to point that, it's just powerful. And so we really live into that space in regards to we want to be an amazingly excellent educational school, but we also just want to partner with our parents in a powerful way to say, you know what? What you want in your home and what they're hearing in church on Sunday morning, if we can embrace that and partner with them, it's an amazing thing. And I've seen a couple of my kids have graduated from there as well, too. And just to see that and coming back to school and say, thank you, teachers, for partnering with my wife and I to just love our kids and to raise them up and to point them back to Jesus. It's pretty amazing.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah.
We all know that things are costing more all the time. The pace of inflation may be slowing up a little bit here over the last year or two, but it's just true that everything costs more. And I imagine you're seeing that, too, as you figure out what your tuition rates look like for this coming year. How has that changed based on just the rising cost of everything in the world?
Great question. We have we've actually kind of on the side of that, too. We've been working hard the last few years to really compensate our teachers and get them caught up with some of what's happening in the public schools as well, too. And so that's a big lever as well, too. Of like we have some amazing educators at our school, and to pay them, we've been really trying hard to get that salary raised up so that they can be at our school and thrive in that space as well, too. I'm so incredibly thankful. We have probably done over $20 million of projects at Park Christian School over the last 5 to 7 years, and we are debt-free. And so to be in a place where we can build a budget based on tuition and compensating and run the school and turn the lights on and balance a budget, I just praise God for the fact that we can continue to do that. Mm. We're also blessed with people that come alongside of us and the donor base to say, you know what, we want to see you thrive in this community. And so we're incredibly grateful for those that are partnering with us in that way.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to. How much does it cost to send a kid to Park?
Depending on the grade level, we have different costs between $8,000 and $10,000 or just above $10,000 per year.
And you've been pretty consistent there for a while, have you not?
We have. We've gone up a little bit over the last few years in there, but we're trying to keep pace a little bit too, and we know that we want tuition to be affordable for families. So we also provide tuition reduction based on it's a needs-based formula that we have a third party that helps us kind of navigate through that. But you can receive up to 50% off tuition gifted to you to be able to come because we want families to be able to afford Park Christian School.
Yeah, well, and you said it, you're taking care of your teachers, and they are the ones that are in there.
They're the heart
of our
school.
If you don't have teachers, it's like us. If we don't have people on the air that can say words and be the right kind of people, it doesn't matter what your building looks like.
And I think that's just to touch on that as well, too. Like we had our opening day of teacher workshops today, and I think I introduced 8 new teachers. And so we've been growing, and we've been adding to our teacher staff, but then we've had some that have retired or are going to stay home. We're fully staffed for the coming school year, and I think that's getting trickier and trickier as we go forward with in regards to people saying yes to education. But we're blessed to have just some highly qualified individuals that have applied and filled our spots.
Great stuff. Got about 30 seconds left. I'll give it to you. What else do you want to let us know?
Yeah, I think I just want to kind of come back to of just like we're really into this sweet spot in regards to having class sizes. We're about 50 per grade level right now, and it's just the right spot to be able to field our football team and our basketball teams and have a theater program and just kind of all the aspects of, like we talked earlier as we started, like the experiences and how God's knit different people together and to have experiences so that people can just shine and how God's gifted them. So it's fun to kind of be in the spot of about 630 students going into the school year. We'll graduate about 50 next year, and it's just a beautiful place to be.
Fun stuff. Manage growth, right? Not in a chaotic way, but just be able to control. It sounds like you've been threading the needle pretty well. Yeah. Chris, thank you for coming by.
Steve,
great to see you again.
Me.
Chris Nellermo, president of Park Christian School. All right, when we come back, we still have some time to weigh in on the question of the day. Did the American Angus Foundation do anything wrong by taking the Bezos money. I want to hear from you on this. Kevin's lined up. He's got some thoughts on that. We'll do that when we come back. From the text line, Steve, I imagine there are studies done to test all sorts of traits in cattle. Why should methane emissions be any different? I don't think it's a wrong question to ask. Okay, there's one vote. Let's go to Kevin on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. He wants to talk about methane and cattle. Hey, Kevin, what do you think? Did the Angus Association do the wrong thing by taking the money?
No, but I was raised on a red Simmental.
Okay, yep.
So I cannot, what do I want to say? Your previous guest was excellent, and I love everything he said.
Same.
I'm going to throw some parody into it.
Okay.
Okay. Next thing you know, Bezos is going to do a study on old men and how they fart.
Okay.
Is he going to exterminate all these old men?
There's a lot more people, I think, than there are. I guess I shouldn't say that. I assume there's more people than cattle, and people pass gas too. It's a fair point, Kevin.
That's what I was thinking too. I would rather have an Angus working with me than some of these old guys.
Or a Simmental. Yep, or a Hereford. Brown Swiss.
I love them. They're beautiful.
Charolais cattle. What's the most beautiful? I love them all. Red Simmentals are gorgeous. Angus are some of black cows. Brown Swiss. I love them all.
They attract too many flies.
Okay.
And it's just the color. It's not the smell. Because a red does not attract as many flies as a black.
I didn't know that. Oh.
Well, you think flies are blind?
Rumor has it. All right. Well, Kevin, you bring up a question that needed to be asked today on the program. And so are they going to start researching the flatulence habits of old men as well? I love it.
Oh, gosh. I'm in trouble.
Oh, good stuff, Kevin. Thanks for calling today, my friend. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
There you go. So I'm curious. You can keep the texts and emails coming. And I'll see him tonight and tomorrow. We'll maybe talk about this a little bit more, too. I'm really conflicted on this one. Usually I can say, this is right, this is wrong. I don't know in this case if the wrong thing has been done or not. It's a dog whistle, right? That's the problem that irks me. The whole thing is about a premise that there's something wrong with the emissions of cattle. And I'm pretty sure that if the world comes to an end, it's not going to be because of the flatulence or cow pies that you might find out in the pasture. All right, my friend. Well, that'll do it for the program today. A good show today. Lots of fun today. Thanks to those of you that sent in an email or a text or gave a call as well. So you have a great night, my friend. Keep on flying that flag. We'll see you back here tomorrow.